You call roll, please.
Archer?
Here.
Ronk? Bartels?
Here.
Gavaris? Haynes?
Here.
Mayo? Walter?
Here.
And Mayo is here.
Great. We're going to start off with our budget discussions with everyone. We appreciate your coming and sharing insights into your 2021 budget. It would be helpful for us to understand what's changed, what structure, organizational changes you're making. I'm sure planning without having a sense of state cuts has been a challenge. So if you can share a little bit of how you approach that, that would be great. We saw a lot of job changes and title changes, so we hope you can explain some of that. And this is just general. And also just kind of want to put on everybody's radar, we're still doing some deep dive into the budget and trying to get our arms around everything. So we may be calling you back for more questions, but we appreciate you're here today. And Nina, if you would please kick us off.
Okay, sweet. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time and having us talk to you about our budget. I thought I would start with the total county cost. Now, one of the things I wanted to clarify there, I saw in the county exec budget that the total county cost for the county clerk's office was $1.5 million. And what is not included in that and I feel should be taken into consideration is $1.1 million of revenue that the county clerk's office collects each year. And that $1.1 million is the county motor vehicle county use tax. And we collect that on every registration that's processed here in our office. And that money goes directly up to New York State. And then the state then transmits it to our Department of Finance. So the reason that it is not credited to our account is because we're not transmitting it at the end of the month. It's coming directly from the state, but that is revenue that we are collecting and generating through the DMV. So I think it's important to note that. And if you take into consideration that $1.1 million that we are collecting in use tax, it reduces our county share to a little about $484,000. So that's just one point I'd like to make. Also, speaking about revenues, let's talk about COVID for a minute and what happened to the county clerk's office during COVID. So the office continued to run during that time frame, and we ran it with five individuals, those being our deputies and our accountant and one other index clerk, senior principal clerk, that ran the office. And during that time frame, the county clerk recording department, the revenues were only down 2%, which is tremendous. So Alice and her staff kept that department running continuously throughout COVID. In addition, our DMV was down 50%, which sounds tremendous, but to think that we had no public coming into the building and we still were bringing in 50% of the revenue that we normally would generate, I think it was a tremendous job also in regard to our deputies and the staff that worked each day to ensure that the county continued to function and that we continued to obtain that revenue. So just to give you a perspective, in September, our recording department for the month of September in comparison to 2019, our revenues were up by 20% in the recording department. And in DMV, we were up, for September, we were only down 7%. So that's amazing, taking consideration that we're doing appointment only and the DMV bus, because of COVID considerations, has not gone back out on the road yet. Overall for the year, right now, we're looking at recording up 6% and DMV down 24%. Again, we have cut those revenues in half from the 50% that we lost back during those COVID months. So our goal is to continue to generate revenue as much as we can. We still want to continue with our social distancing, ensuring that we do appointments only in the DMV. But what we must take in consideration, by the appointments only, we are doing transactions that involve quite a bit of money as opposed to a plate surrender, which is a dollar, and we use the Dropbox, or a registration renewal, which we use the Dropbox. So that's why we're able to retain those revenues as well as we have been. And people are utilizing the Dropbox, the mail, as well as the appointment system. And we're hoping to get the DMV bus up and running. So I want to just speak 1 second about the procedures in place that helped us do what we did during COVID. And one of them was the DMV appointment system. We did not have to scramble, which many counties did have to do, to get appointment system in place for when the governor decided to reopen the DMVs by appointment only. We had that established for 3 years, and therefore it was quite seamless for us to go to the appointment system. In addition to the appointment system, we, in 2018, instituted a new software package here in the recording department, which was IQS. And this allowed us to put our records online and enabled the title searchers to also, and the attorneys, to search during COVID online as well as appointments only in our record room. And what that did was there was many closings that were in the pipeline during that time frame that would have financially not only harmed the county but harmed the taxpayers here in Ulster County if they were not able to close, as well as their title companies and attorneys whose livelihood depended on it. So by virtue of having that those online records, we were able to continue the real estate business here in Ulster County throughout COVID. In addition, instituted e-filing and e-recording in 2019. So what that allowed was, since you could not come into the building in person, you could e-record your documents and you could e-file your documents. And please remember, when I said that our recording revenues were only down 2% in during COVID, that also included the courts being closed down completely. So we're not obtaining any court documents or revenues through that time frame, but we were able to take in filings for existing cases because we had e-filing and e-recording. And when the administrative judge and the chief judge of the state directed county clerks that we only could do e-filing, many county clerks had not implemented it yet. And again, that was quite a strain on the office and the staff. We had that already implemented since 2019. So I think for all those reasons, we were able to continue operating during COVID. And I think it is helping us now generate the revenue that the county so desperately needs during these times. So I was very pleased that our staff was able to put all those procedures in place prior to COVID. That's all I have to say about revenues. The revenues that we have proposed for 2021 are conservative, but I feel, and I've strongly felt this way, and I've worked with Bert in the past on this, and Alice and myself have always felt that we would rather be conservative and be pleasantly surprised come the middle or end of 2021 than to really put those revenues out there and not see them happen and have a decrease for the county. So we are conservative in our revenues. We're looking at the same revenues next year as we had this year. The other thing that people don't realize, that DMV went from a 4-year license to an 8-year license. And what that did was there's 4 years that we are down in license transactions because of that. And we will hit that 4-year period April of 2021. We're hoping that with the real enhanced extension to October of 2021, we will still see people coming into the office and an increase in driver's license transactions. But we will definitely be down. And we took that in consideration too when we proposed our revenues for 2021. So Lynn, I don't know if you want to stop there and talk about revenues or if you want me to go on to expenses and then we could talk if anybody has any questions about the budget as a whole.
Well, why don't we see, does anyone have any questions on revenue before we move on? Okay, I don't see any. Why don't you go ahead, Nina?
Okay, thanks, Lynn. So our expenses, the total reduction in our budget this year is $520,000. We cut out of our 400 account $298,000 and out of our personnel account $221,000. We deleted positions, the account clerk, records clerk, a clerk part-time, and a motor vehicle cashier part-time. positions that we're filling that were retirements, but we feel need to be filled, which is the security guard bus driver for the DMV bus and the records clerk will be entry level positions and therefore thus reducing our personnel costs even more. We did fund for the second half for the last 5 months of 2021, our senior index clerk position and an administrative assistant position. So let me talk about that for 1 second. Our thought is, Alice and I really feel that we may be able to give those positions back to the county, but we didn't feel that it would be responsible on our part to make that decision now. Both of those employees are retiring in March. We will evaluate April, May, June, and July a quarter and see how we were doing without those positions being filled, possibly looking at part-time or whatever's best for the county and for the office, we will do to ensure that the county clerk's office keeps operating responsibly, but we could save money for the county. So we only funded those positions for 5 months. Because of that, we were able to save the $221,000 in personnel costs that were associated with all of these positions. So that's really
our budget.
Yeah, that's our budget, that's our expenses, that's our revenue, that's what we have implemented in the past few years, and that has allowed us to continue through COVID. So I'll be happy to entertain any questions anyone may have.
Legislator Bartels. Tracy, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. Try again.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Sorry, I have to wait outside for my daughter's school bus, so I might not have a. Okay, so I noticed on the personnel lines that there's quite a lot of variations of people going down only slightly. What do you know what that's due to?
You know what? It's funny you ask that, Tracy. Alice and I were looking at that also, and I don't know if Bert is still here, but Bert, maybe you, we're thinking with steps and more days. Bert, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bert.
One less day next year.
Yeah, that's
one less day next year? Okay.
One less day next year working-wise. We go from 262 to 261. So throughout the budget, you'll see, if they don't have steps, you'll see salary decreases.
Okay. And then you have two, I think I only counted two raises within the department. Is that correct?
That's correct, Tracy. The two deputies, Alice Lawless and Lori Hancock. That money was used from money that was in the budget. That's not new money. That was a clerk part-time money that we distributed to those two individuals. And I feel for numerous reasons that both of them are entitled to those raises. First of all, throughout COVID, they worked tirelessly to continue having this office run and run efficiently and to generate revenue for the office. In addition, if you even look at the raises that they're receiving, that if they worked 40 hours a week for the next year, they still wouldn't, it wouldn't even equal what we're giving them. It would be well over that. So, and they definitely give 40 hours, if not 50, 60 hours some weeks. And because of them, we're using money within the budget. We're saving $221,000. And I just feel that these raises are something that they're, both of them are entitled to for all the years of work that they've given to the county and what they've done through COVID.
And there's one deputy county clerk that's remaining at the static, at their previous salary?
Yes. Yeah. So that's Nancy. That's our deputy in motor vehicle. And that's because we raised her salary last year. I came before the committee and we raised her in 2019 for 2020. And the other two deputies, we did not at that point.
Okay. Thank you.
You're okay. Welcome, Tracy.
Any other questions out there? I have a couple of things, if I may. First of all, I personally had some experiences working with you all and setting up appointments and during COVID. And so I do appreciate all your hard work and effort. I know it was a trying time, but you all seemed to just adjust quickly. So it was much appreciated, my
Thank
personal
you.
Experience. So that was helpful.
Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate that.
And I'm hoping that you'll be able to realize, I mean, are you going to be continuing by appointment? Because that seems to be working out well, or are you going to move, if things change and shift, are you going to revert back? I mean, did you have lessons learned with COVID that you feel has a positive impact on efficiency?
Yes, we have. Great point. So we will definitely stay with appointments. What we are hoping possibly is that as things get better and we don't have to do the social distancing that we're doing right now, we can do more appointments per hour, which will generate more revenue. But we will definitely continue doing by appointment only for in-person transactions and the Dropbox and the mail-ins for all those transactions that we can do by the computer. I think in addition, we have done the record room.
Yes, by appointment only. Scheduling, social distancing, accommodating all the title searchers so they can get their business done. We don't want to ice them out. They need to be here. They needed to be here during COVID. It kept the economy running. It kept the real estate business going. So that's a big issue for us. And we work really hard to accommodate everyone. We understand everyone's business and we want everybody to be able to earn a living. And we want to do it safely and within the guidelines and restrictions of COVID. And I think we've been really successful at that so far, Lynn. I really do.
Right. Well, and thank you for your hard work.
When the bus goes back out on the road, mm-hmm. that bus will be by appointment only too.
Yes.
Appointments only to accommodate the COVID guidelines. We're very aware of that. And we want right. to do business, but we want to do it in the right way.
Right. And through utilization of the IQS system, the revenue was like $100,000,
yes,
right?
With the online year. Records. We made a tremendous amount of income from our online records.
So, right, but you made all the changes last year, right? You increased your cost in that, and so it helped through this period, correct?
Right, and we feel that with the online records, we will continue to encourage people to go online because it generates revenue. It takes individuals out of the office. So even once COVID is over, we will continue to stress the importance of using our online system as opposed to in-person searching.
Right. One other item that I under records management, you've had nominal supplies. You had a blip up this year because of COVID, I would expect, but now you're also projecting, 30,000 in supplies going into, next year. Can you explain why that number is still as high? I mean, I would assume part of this had to do with your partitions and all the installations you had to make to protect the staff from customers coming in. So do you have any sense of why you've got to maintain that level?
Sure. So the 30,000 for supplies for records management includes all of our microfilming, all of our archival on supplies,
developer toner, everything that we
yeah but I saw but in prior years in 2019 you spent barely 6,000 and so I would see that in 2020
we're looking at different ones. What I'm looking at 4,000 supplies for records management. We spent 20,578 in 2019. 2020, we asked for 30. Is that?
Yeah. Well, we must have different numbers because that's not what I'm saying. This could be the way it's categorized. It's categorized in 4,000. Isn't 4,000 COVID, Bert?
Oh, well.
Lynn, there's a bunch of supply lines within it. There's program supplies, there's office supplies, there's medical supplies, there's a ton of supplies in there.
Okay.
And they have two accounts. One's office supplies and one's program supplies,
okay.
Which I think the program supplies is a lot of their materials for their record storage.
Okay. So did that increase? Because and maybe it's just the way my report was put together. It's showing in 2019, like as I said, we barely spent 6,000. Maybe it's the medical supply line.
They spent almost 20,000 in 2019, okay. And they budgeted 30 in 2020 as well as 2021.
Okay,
if you combine those accounts.
I may just have a wrong number here. I'll check that. Okay, that's it for me. Anybody else? Heidi?
Thank you. I would just like to commend both Nita and her clerk. Everybody in that office, I've really utilized them quite a bit in the past couple of months, and they were always there to assist and help. And it was I could tell that they were going through definitely a lot, but they were continued to serve the people. And I just want to really express my gratitude for them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Bert, you're up.
Thanks, Lynn. And I'll kind of combine finance, budget, and real property together because I treat all of them. We all work together and we are kind of as one. And the biggest changes in my budget have to do with personnel. In 2020, I had roughly $2.4 million in payroll costs. It doesn't include benefits, just $2.4 million in payroll. In the 2021 exec budget, there's $2.1 million, which is down $300,000 or 12%. I have had two people have taken the retirement incentive. One of those positions, the fiscal officer, I am not filling, which probably against some of my deputies' wishes, but you know, they all understand we're trying to work with definitely more, you know, work with less, and we'll get through it. But I have five positions within finance that are being defunded. I did add one position through the legislature where we transferred that assigned counsel administrator from the public defender to my office. So it's a net loss of four positions throughout the budget. From 36 positions to 32. I think you did hear the executive say we are moving the innovation division just into budget. It kind of unifies budget more. They'll be working on a lot of performance management and performance budget issues, and you did see a little bit of the change in our budget document this year. We hope to improve that next year. There are three positions that I did reclassify, two in finance to kind of cover that fiscal officer being removed. I went from a junior accountant to an accountant and from a senior account clerk to a principal account clerk. I downgraded one position in budget because of the moves from innovation to budget. I don't need another deputy budget director. We've reclassified that to a financial analyst, which, you know, allows, first of all, reduction in our payroll costs, but it probably allows me to kind of reach out to more folks coming out of college to help with the budget process. And I think that's a good thing when it comes to the learning more in the budget process. So that's kind of the payroll side of things. Like I said, I'm down 12% overall between the three departments in terms of payroll.
Bert, just clarification.
Go ahead.
So I saw that you zeroed out the budget for innovation. Is that now because you've now included them in the finance department,
well,
correct?
They went from finance division in finance to a division in budget now. There were three positions in finance and innovation. There's now two in budget.
We're removing the innovation director. Completely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. On the contractual side, my budget is we're down roughly $125,000 from $1.5 million to about $1.38. I will say most of those contractual expenses I'm required to pay. Assigned counsel makes up $1 million of that. There are 18B costs. I have $145,000 in legal costs for bonding and another $141,000 for financial services, which include title searches for properties, cost allocation reports, and workers' comp actuarial services. So those three things make up $1.3 million of that, you know, $1.4 million. And just one note on the other expenses that I'm kind of in charge of. In the debt service fund, our debt service is up roughly $620,000 or almost 5%. And that's due, we're going out in November this year of roughly $8.5 million in terms of bonding. So those estimates are in there.
And Bert, I saw the you added an assigned counsel part-time. The part-time person you were talking about?
Yeah, that was the assigned counsel administrator. We did a resolution in August, where we transferred that position from the public defender's office to my office because New York State said it was a conflict to have it in the public defender's office.
Right, but you have it both in regular pay and part-time pay?
It's in part-time pay, but I've increased state aid because it is 100% reimbursed.
Okay, so that 107 covers that?
Yeah.
Or a portion of that?
Correct, yeah. We do receive some state aid for our assigned counsel work when it comes to parole appeals through assigned counsel. We get $17,000 in revenue for that.
Right. Any other questions out there? Legislative Arte.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm like on the move and I know I'm going to get cut off by a fire alarm, but my first, that assigned counsel, I want to say that I still agree with the point that was made by Legislator Walter when we brought it up. I don't think it should live. I know that doesn't make a difference in the long term, but I don't think it should live in finance. That doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me.
No, it was one of those, Tracy, we didn't have a place to put it, and I was doing those 18B costs of $1 million that we're required to pay. So we really had no other place to put it.
Okay. So, but just longer term, I hope we're going to find a place for it. Sorry, I have to move with you right now. My other question, it has to do, going back to innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little confused. I mean, and I guess this is a longer term conversation. But I'm a little confused about the fact that we're getting rid of the director. So now there's a deputy director, but there is no director. And what exactly are they going to do in budget? I mean, what?
A lot of performance measurements with departments, some goals that the departments need to set. You did see a little bit in their annual report, too, in terms of the departments. They're doing a lot of follow-up and measurements on that. And we'll be able to provide that information in the budget document. That's what kind of the goal is of this.
I think Pat explained this in some of the caucus meetings going onto the budget, that this is combining innovation and budget almost as like a office of management and budget. So we're going to be doing some performance management and also performance budgeting, like Bert said, leaving, you know, the two individuals that have been working with the director side by side and doing a lot of the OKRs and other performance management, working with the departments themselves, the two individuals that are staying on, working under Chris Kelly, have been doing a bulk of that work and will continue that work.
Okay.
The other piece is they kind of help manage the Recovery Service Center, which is what allows us to really track and make sure that we really are doing more with less as far as the services, that we're still providing the great level of service that we expect that we will. They're going to be doing that performance management with the departments through the Recovery Service Center, and this team is going to help lead that.
Okay, and but it makes sense. It's moving into budget, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in finance, and now it's just moving into budget like an OMB.
Okay. I also want to comment. I mean, I think this is a theme. We saw it in Nina's budget as well. You have two significant raises, both to deputy commissioners of finance.
I'm not increasing their hourly rate. With that loss of the fiscal officer, both my deputies are putting more hours in. So I've increased their hours to 75 hours. I didn't change their rate.
That's for the deputy commissioner, both deputy commissioners.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Because I noticed that across the budget, there's quite a lot of management. Yeah,
that was just an increase of hours because they are working more. They have been working more, and they really are kind of replacing that fiscal officer by picking up other duties. And, you know, I will say kind of, you know, I know Ace went away, but the one deputy is focused on continuing that work, which we still have to do in terms of monitoring vendors, helping departments train and things like that. So we have a lot of work there, and the two deputies, you know, I wouldn't be here without them. That's for sure.
Okay.
Are they doing some compliance as well, Bert?
You know, Lynn, they're trying. It's just a matter of, you know, the corporate compliance side. We moved Tom Gibney outside to the health department. He still kind of works on that, but we're there to assist, and we're there to assist any department, really.
Okay. Right. Any other questions?
And Lynn, I just did want to talk on revenues for just 1 second.
Please, go right ahead.
In terms of within my budget, I did reduce a bit on the occupancy tax. Roughly 8.5%, it's down. Your guess is as good as mine. I know, you know, the third and fourth quarters are our biggest quarters in terms of what we collect. I didn't have any data when it came to getting the budget done for 2021 on those quarters. So I did reduce it. It may not be enough, but it is down 8.5%. The state aid that we get for casino revenue, which is revenue generated, I reduced that quite significantly because they weren't open. And I don't know in terms of the revenues, it was down before that. So that is down almost 35% in terms of that revenue, roughly $325,000. And
do we get a quarterly payout on that?
It is quarterly payments, and I have yet to receive the prior quarter because I don't think there is any. They weren't open. It may be.
When did they open? They did open this summer, right?
They did, yeah. And I haven't received anything from that either. So it's one of those, the data's not there to kind of project going forward. And sales tax, I did the best I could. That is down roughly $8 million from the 2020 adopted budget, roughly 6%. I will add this caveat too. New York State's going to take $745,000 off the top for a distressed hospital fund, and that's coming right off the sales tax. We will not see that. So, you know, I reduced sales tax to $120.5 million. That is with that $745,000 off the top. So, you know, my projection was kind of 121 million, and I took the 745 off. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Legislative Walter,
where are we with the Airbnb contract?
Last I knew, it was still in the process, Eve. I believe I will be the department to sign off of it, and I know it was being finalized last I knew.
Because we were told that was true about 3 months ago.
Yeah. I know there was communication between the county attorney's office and Airbnb. And, you know, I can get a follow-up on that, and I can update you as soon as I talk with the county attorney's office.
Mark, do you have an update on that?
I think it could be. I mean, normally we send to the vendor first. I think it could be to the vendor for signature at this point. But and then Bert would see it coming back. So I think they have finalized it, and I believe the contract is out, the hard copies to the vendor for signature. So it should be fully executed within the month or so, I would guess.
Any other questions? Legislator Bartel.
So, Bert, just, I know you said this, but I just want to be clear. So you got rid of the senior account clerk. Did you swap that one for another one?
Give me 1 second, Tracy. I just got to look at my notes again. I got rid of, correct, I did defund one senior account clerk, and I was reclassifying a position that someone was in already to a senior account clerk. I guess I could have, from a senior account clerk
to the PR.
To a principal. Yeah, sorry about that. And I defunded an administrative assistant typist. a fiscal officer, a senior account clerk typist, a financial analyst, and the director of innovation.
So
those are the five financial positions.
Analyst, the one you asked for in the last year's budget cycle, an additional financial analyst? Or is that one that had been longstanding?
They've been in my budget for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you so much, Bert. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
All right, we have, Bert, you're still on. Now you get to talk real property.
In terms of real property's budget, there's no changes on anything really. I did try to reduce some of their expenses to, you know, as much as possible. But in terms of real property, there really isn't any changes on the staffing or anything like that.
Okay. All right, any questions? Anybody on real property? Okay, great.
I had one.
Thank you, Bert. Pardon me?
I had one. Were there changes in revenue for real property?
The only real property revenue that we receive is when we, you know, for MAP certifications, and the other one is kind of a matching revenue with an expense if the towns need any help with kind of a town-wide assessment through our office. We'd apply for the state to receive some revenue for that. That's all. That's the only two revenues they have.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thanks again, Bert. Appreciate it. Okay, we're a little ahead of schedule, believe it or not, which is always good. As long as we have Cherie Cross with us, do I see her online?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, there you are.
I may not have a picture, thanks.
Yes, we don't see you, but now I see your initials there.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
okay, so you have the floor.
All right. So for personnel, we have decreased our budget basically in professional services, and that was really with our outside attorneys for labor relations, and we do not have any disciplinary actions that are in the pipeline or that is anticipated, so we feel that it's safe at this time to decrease the budget for that line. And going forward, we will look at the disciplinary actions if there are any and negotiate as needed. And we think we should be okay with that. As far as personnel goes, in personnel itself, we have a retirement and we are not going to replace the personnel assistant at this time. And due to COVID too, we've had a decrease in schools, libraries, special districts, some of the paperwork that comes along with that. So again, we feel that that's safe for 2021 to do so. Our revenues are basically realized from the prescription rebates. And we also do get rebates from the stop loss, but the stop loss essentially has a corresponding expense for the claims that made the revenue of stop loss. And usually the prescription rebates are around $240,000, $275,000 a quarter. So that's where we got the budget for that. And so that's essentially personnel. Again, we tried to decrease as much as we could and keep all our services up to par.
So how has COVID impacted the personnel department?
The Again, what we call the outlying. So we do civil service for the county and for the outlying towns, villages, municipalities, special districts, libraries. And as a lot have been closed, they're starting to open now again with caution. So there has been less essential paperwork done. I mean, there's still some hiring, some lists, there haven't been any exams. They're starting up on December 7th and they have a schedule. New York State has just recently put out to have exams for next year. So we haven't had our part-timers who do the exam monitoring. They haven't been working this whole year, essentially. Oh, I can't hear you. You're muted.
Thanks. Any other questions? Nope. Thank you so much, Cherie. I appreciate your coming and sharing your budget with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving right along. Next, we have Ed Jordan. I saw Ed. Oh, there he is. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, everyone. Coming. Thanks for having me today.
So why don't you kind of share how you put your budget together this year, some of the challenges you've experienced and changes that you're making.
Okay. If I could just start, Lynn, just with a few year-to-date statistics for the department. We've done 2017 purchase orders this year, 26 bids, 5 capitals, and 24 RFPs. 241,000 pieces of metered mail, insertion of payroll and vendor checks, 33,522, school taxes and town taxes, inserting of 94,378 pieces. We have our property tax bills coming in December, should be about 80,000 pieces, 616 UPS packages this year, and 107,000 print and copy pieces in our mailroom. As far as the budget, we have two primary expense lines, the regular pay and the miscellaneous contract expense for postage. And I'll just go down the line, start with expenses. Regular pay has gone up by $45 from last year to this year, and that's basically due to a CSEA bump. Our part-time pay line of $10,000 we eliminated. The longevity pay is the same, $5,000. Our supplies line, we reduced from $10,000 to $3,500. It's 50% for the fuel for the van and almost 70% in office supplies. Professional services, we reduced from $7,500 to $3,000. We cut the budgeted line for legal notices, and we eliminated the Dun & Bradstreet business research line for now, but we know that if we need them, they have a cost per call service available to us if we need it. The rentals for the equipment in the mailroom have both dropped. The Pitney Bowes postage machine, the cost of that has dropped from $13,380 to $12,242. And the folder inserters dropped from $23,887 down to $21,408. We eliminated our conference expense line, $3,000 down to zero. And as I mentioned earlier, the miscellaneous contract expense for postage, we cut that by $36,000 down to $290,940. So as far as revenue, we kept the departmental income line at $40,000, which is $30,000 for chargebacks for the New York State court system and $10,000 for vending. The intrafund revenues for the reimbursable departments, which is DSS, the sheriff, health department, OET, OFA, STOP, DWI, and self-insurance, We kept that at $120,000 for next year. We do anticipate a $50,000 increase in revenue for 2021. We're working with SUNY Ulster. They have asked us to assume many of their procurement responsibilities associated with their solicitation activities. So bids, quotes, and RFPs as part of the cost-cutting measure that the college has done. We're currently working with them to incorporate many of their supplies and service requirements into our either existing or upcoming contracts. And we'll also work together to develop and issue specifications for goods and services that are exclusive to their daily operations. And just some highlights and something that we've been heavily focused on since the COVID pandemic began is the purchase of PPE. We purchased large supplies of PPE for distribution to first responders, long-term care facilities, local governments, urgent care facilities, and community-based organizations. We assisted DPW on ordering equipment and supplies for a drive-up testing site and the purchase of public safety guards for offices that are going to be interfacing with the public. And we obtained PPE supplies and site cleaning services for the Board of Elections for the primary and the general election. Two of our staff members have worked with the COVID response call center team. Our mailroom staff has continued daily delivery of mail throughout the pandemic. They also delivered PPE supplies to all departments prior to offices reopening in June, and they continue to supply PPE on request. So that's about it right now.
Ed, if I may, in the beginning, you gave us a lot of data points for the various things your department does.
Sure.
And some of them, based on your numbers, I would expect that you saw a reduction. But overall, how did your year compare? It sounded like you were still moving forward with regards to bids, all of that. So were the numbers close or were they?
So far, Lynn, the numbers are definitely down. Right now, maybe down 40 or 50% from where they were this time last year, but the volume has gone up significantly over the last few months. So, whereas during the spring and summer time when we would have been doing some of these solicitations, we worked on and concentrated on PPE. Now, some of those solicitations are being done, but some of them naturally aren't because budgets have been cut by departments.
And are you maintaining your same staff, right?
We are.
Okay. Any other questions out there? No. Ed, thank you. Thank you for your time and for your work this year. It's been a tough year, and I know everybody's pulled together, so thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Lynn?
Oh, yes. Natalie?
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
I just want to take a minute to identify some of the callers for the record. So if you are from phone number 845-802-9999, can you please identify your name?
Hi, this is Vinny Altieri from the Sheriff's Office. I'm calling in for the sheriff who had to attend another meeting.
Thank you. If you are a caller, phone number 1-267-228-572. Can you please state your name for the record? Caller 1-267-228-572. Okay. All right, that's all for now, Lynn. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't know who that caller is. It's a extended number, right?
They may not know. They have to hit *6 to unmute.
Okay, try *6 to unmute, please. There we go.
Patrick Logan.
Thank you. And Vinny, was that you? Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was me.
Right. Do we have Tim with us today?
No. Bert had gone over the innovation team, but.
Oh, okay.
I mean, happy to talk more about it if.
Are there any other questions? Did anybody have? That's right. I don't know why. All right. Are you ready to do the exact budget, Mark?
Sure.
I saw John was here. I haven't seen Evelyn.
She's in a housing meeting.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's going on till 5, right? Do you want to hold off, or I guess we can go forward. She can fill us in if there's anything else, right?
Yeah, if there's any questions that John or I can't answer, we can circle back when she gets on, but I think we'll be okay.
Great. Okay.
Let me just pull it up. Really, the majority of the county executive's budget is personnel. And so there were a few changes. We only funded the confidential secretary position for the second quarter and beyond. We don't anticipate a lot of the kind of in-person meetings and other things that would require that confidential secretary, you know, sitting in the office at least through until the second quarter. So we funded it just for the you know, later 9 months. There was a reclassification. We had a digital media specialist, and then we also had the fiscal analyst or financial analyst, Bert, in the finance department, Brittany. Brittany no longer works for the county. We have combined the duties of the two positions into one, and that's where you see the communication specialist, and that other position is no longer in Bert's budget. And
so you no longer have a digital media person? They're now communication person? I'm confused.
Yeah, in this budget, we haven't done anything yet, but in this budget, we are proposing to take Jasmine, who was the digital media coordinator,
mm-hmm.
and add duties that were part of Brittany's duties. So basically taking two positions and turning it into one, which is the communications specialist. There's some duties that Brittany oversaw that had to do with the general website that will be picked up by IS. But for the most part, you know, many of her duties have been picked up by Jasmine. And it's an overall savings of a considerable amount from that. You know, even though we're increasing the salary $20,000, but we're eliminating a position by doing it.
And where's the chief of staff in the budget? I didn't see that in here.
I mean, so there's never been a position in the county budget titled chief of staff. Right now, Kayleen, who's in that position, is the director of research ops, which was a position that was funded in previous budgets as well. And you know, Adele, when she was chief of staff, she was a deputy county executive. Her title in the budget was never chief of staff.
So she's sitting under director of research ops. She's doing that job?
Yes, correct.
And what does that entail?
We've shifted the duties to more of a chief of staff. She's really facilitating the work of the office. So it's been, you know, crucial throughout COVID to have someone really coordinating the work of myself, John, Evelyn, and the rest of, you know, the other assistant deputy county execs and you know, those communications digital media people, just making sure that we're all aligned and that the work is moving forward where maybe we're out scattered a little bit. She's really helping to drive the show. So.
Okay, any questions?
Very similar to any other kind of chief of staff role.
Legislator Bartels.
So I don't have the previous budget book in front of me. Was that position titled Director of Research Ops last year?
Yes.
Okay.
And going back to, I mean, the first person to sit in that position was Rashida Tyler. Okay. And then Jillian Nadiak and now Kayleen.
Okay.
And we've just shifted the duties of the position.
But the communication specialist is a new title that you are proposing in this budget.
Yes, that reflects additional duties beyond what was the digital media coordinator.
This is something I'm confused about. First of all, have you written up what those duties are? Have those been submitted to us at all?
I don't know if they've been submitted to you. I believe they've been written up. I can make sure that they are there. I mean, typically duties sit in personnel and aren't ever really necessarily submitted to the legislature
since you're proposing a new position that you're creating with additional duties, I mean, that's something I'd like to understand as well. You're saying that this position is taking over financial analysts' duties? That's the previous position that you're combining it with?
Yes. So Brittany was a Bert, you'll have to correct me, either a fiscal or a financial analyst.
It was a financial analyst.
Right. So some of those duties have been combined with what was the digital media coordinator's duties and has now become the communication specialist. So
what I'm saying is, so the communication specialist now is doing financial analyses and is qualified to do financial analyses?
No, not every duty of what the financial analyst was doing was strict financial analysts. If many of you worked with Brittany, it was still, and this goes back many kind of multiple administrations. There's only been two. But Brittany was hired under the previous administration as a financial analyst. Honestly, we are making it more transparent and tying what that person does, to their duties a little bit. It's more reflective of what they're actually doing.
But so I'm sorry to ask so many questions, but was Brittany a financial analyst?
By title, yes. She sat in the executive's office and did a lot of work with the departments, helping them do some communications. She worked on website material. She helped with different events, etc. Some of the work that she did, I think, around the budget, she helped with the budget and doing various financial analyst duties, which some will retain. You know, the communication specialist is still going to assist the budget team, just like they do all other kind of county departments in communications.
Legislator Walter.
I'll continue with what Legislator Bartels was saying. This sounds very, very strange and confusing to take a financial analyst and somehow give their duties to a communication person, and then that person is now getting $20,000 more. I would really want to understand, see these two job descriptions separately and see how you're planning on merging those, because it sounds very odd and unusual, and I'm concerned about what kinds of, what the capacity and what the skill set should be of this merged job, and whether the person who you're offering it to has those skills and capacity, but I feel like there should be some clear documentation on that. And I'm just curious about the confidential secretary. Is there currently someone who's doing that?
No. It's been vacant.
Okay. So but there is a need that you feel you will ultimately have.
Yes, we haven't needed to fill the position because the building has been closed. So a lot of the duties that person had, frankly, are not happening right now. We don't have people coming in and out of this office.
How long has it been vacant?
just this year. I mean, not all of this year, but during COVID. I think it's been vacant since
April. I'm a little confused, Mark, because when we talked about some of the changes that had been made there, there was the comment that you will not be filling the confidential secretary. Now it's back in the budget and it's being filled. And when we spoke about this year, about all some of the changes that were going on, the increases and all of that, it was, quote, a savings because you're not going to be filling the confidential secretary. So, but you're bringing it back into the budget, correct?
We are still seeing, although it's not fully reflected in this budget because it's also part of Bert's budget, we are saving, you know, over $50,000 on total personnel costs when you take the fact that for years, this legislative body has requested that that positions that sit up in the executive's office be put under the executive's budget. We are doing that now. Everybody,
but you fought me last year on, I will remind you.
Yeah, and we said we would do it at some point this year, and it's happening now. We're putting it through in the 2021 budget, and we're losing headcount. So, overall, by one position, saving the county money, restructuring the executive's office in a way that most reflects what's happening, and also is within the purview of the executive to manage the office of the executive in a way that he thinks is most effective, which is what this is doing.
So who determines then the salary? Because you're creating a brand new job, and how did you determine what the salary should be based on these combined functions?
Financial secretary or the communications?
No, I'm moving to the other one now.
You're talking about the communications specialist?
Yeah.
So we're adding duties, and I'm not, Bert.
Well, maybe it goes back to, let's get a copy of what the job description, which I think we have the digital communications job description from last year, and the financial, and then what does the merged job description look like today?
Sure. We can send that over.
And so you're saying that you're asking for less money in payroll?
When you take into account the change that was made in the finance department, yes.
Operation team, finance team, and the executive branch, yes.
But the fact that we had two people sitting up in the executive's office working side by side with each other, we removed one of those positions. The person left county government and we're not filling it. And we are adding to the duties of the digital media coordinator, and just changing the title.
But maybe I'm reading this wrong. It looks like you're asking for more money.
So there was, and again, this is some historical context, Legislator Walter, there was always a few positions that sat in the executive's office going back to the prior administration that this legislative body has felt should be moved to the executive's office to better reflect not only their duties, but where they are working on a day-to-day basis. We did that in last year's budget to two out of three positions. One was in the county attorney's office, and it was the research ops, which we've now, which is now where Kayleen sits and is effectively our chief of staff. We also have, we had a digital media specialist that sat in information services that physically sits up in the exec's office, but up until this last year, 2020, due to an amendment that legislator Archer made, we moved that individual from IS's budget to the county executive's budget. We're just finishing that move. There was a person who was titled a financial analyst who sat up in the exec's office. That individual no longer works for the county, and we're removing that position, but we're adding some of their duties to the digital media specialist position and increasing the salary. But overall, when that person's salary was about $72,000, $73,000, we're removing that entire salary, but we're adding $20,000 to the other position. So it's about a $50,000 net savings.
So how much was the other position being paid?
$73,000, I think. Yeah. $73,000. The what?
The communications person.
No, the financial analyst was being paid $73,000.
So but you said you're increasing by 20. From what to what?
From 51,000 to 72,000.
Okay, any other questions? Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you. So first, because it's been glossed over now twice, Legislator Archer asked the question, how did you determine the salary for this position? And every time that question has been just glossed over, there's been no answer. So how did you determine that's the appropriate salary for a position of that nature?
Working with the personnel department. I didn't make the decision. I don't know if John's on, but it was personnel working with the budget team after the duty and position description was created. The salary was reflective of that. So it wasn't
based on the original salary that Jasmine was making with the additional duties that Brittany was taking over. That was the number that was considered.
Yeah, it backflipped on that. The duties that Brittany was doing added to Jasmine's duties, the salary reflects that. But who determined that? It was a determination of personnel department, budget department, working with our office.
So Brittany's salary was 70-some-odd thousand, you had said?
Yes, 73,000, I think.
Okay, so you're saying personnel also set that salary as well?
Financial analysts, there's several throughout the county, and they're pretty similar. I think you have two in your department. They all make about the same salary.
Okay. Do we, and this is, I guess, maybe a question for the chairwoman or somebody else who can answer it, but is there any part of the county government that checks, and I'm assuming maybe it's personnel, job description versus actual duties? Is there any body who does that?
Cherie, you may be able to respond to that question.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Go ahead.
Is there anybody in the county that looks at job descriptions and then looks at the actual functions that a person is realistically doing and says, yes, they match up, or no, they don't match up, and then we need to reclassify that person?
Yes, we do that throughout our work. There's desk audits and those kinds of things. The discussion, I think, here within the county execs is that the duties of Brittany in the financial analyst, which has a media portion in the job description, is at that $73,000 range, and Jasmine has been given those duties and has moved in to that position, so that's where that rate of pay is coming from. And then with the budget and the communications position, if it passes budget, then it is authorized by the legislature.
Just for a point of clarification, Cherie, desk audits are not done on these types of positions. This is a management position, correct?
Correct. But the generally speaking, we will go review all the job descriptions and make sure they kind of line up. So it's not a desk audit per se as in civil service, but we are all civil service jobs, so it's similar.
Legislator Bartels?
I mean, just to clarify, it's legislative duty to set salaries. And for those employees that are not covered by a collective bargaining agreement, the legislature sets the salary ranges. So this is a totally new title. I mean, I would imagine we'd want the input from personnel, but this is entirely the legislature's purview in terms of setting up salary.
That's what I was saying, yes. That's why the communications title is in the budget as is for you to set the salary.
Range, right.
Range, yes. Well, though we don't have ranges, but.
Okay, do we have any other questions? Legislator Walter.
So now that maybe I'm just ignorant and you can explain this to me. There is no range for this position. So where does the power come to just decide to add $20,000 to a $50,000 position?
So nobody's added it up until this point. We're putting it forward in our recommended budget. And if passed by the legislature, you would be essentially setting the salary range for the position, although there's never been ranges.
So the person
it's the duty of the legislature to set the salary range.
So they're
the
currently
budget, you set, you know,
they're currently range. Not receiving this money.
No.
Okay. Legislator Gavaris?
That was my question that you just asked, and that was what I was going to ask. Thank you.
Okay. So if you could mark the old job description for each of the jobs and then the newly combined would be helpful. Mm-hmm. Legislator Bartels?
It's just to follow on that last question. So that means that until this budget is adopted, the person's currently sitting in the previous position at the previous salary?
I'll have to check on that. But I believe that was the case, but I'll check.
And doing no added work.
I can't speak to whether they're doing added work. I need to check to make sure that I
believe she's already received the increase. Is that correct, Financial? Thank you. She's already had the increase. So that is not new to the budget. You've already given it to her.
Okay. I was not aware of that, but that's why I said I needed to check.
Legislator Bartels?
Okay, so can we get a confirmation in terms of the question that I'd like to know then is if she's already received the increase, has she received it in this position that's been created without the approval of the legislature, without the legislature's salary approval? I'm just trying to understand, which I know I'm hearing Mark that he doesn't know the answer, but I would like the answer officially of what exactly has happened.
Sure, I can bring Bert, it.
Can you confirm, was she moved into the financial analyst in your department where she was given the increase?
She is in that financial analyst position, and that is what that salary is in the communication specialist position.
And now she's in this budget. She is now being moved back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, correct.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you just said she is moved to the financial analyst position and she is in the, so yes.
So this is where I was mistaken. She isn't the communications specialist at this point. That is being created through this budget. She was hired as the financial analyst when that position became vacant. And that salary had already been set by the legislature last year. So there was nothing that was done outside of legislative approval because the legislature doesn't approve when we necessarily hire on a one position to another or do an interdepartmental transfer.
Legislator Bartels.
That is true. Is she qualified to be a financial analyst?
Yes. She yes. meets the qualification. Oh, Sherry.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
She does.
Okay, so I'd like to see those qualifications as well, in addition to the qualifications that you've written up for the new description.
It would be helpful to get the resume as well. And Legislator Walter?
Yeah, I mean, if she's qualified to be the financial analyst, then why would you be switching her to the communications person?
We had this discussion last year, and I think Lynn brought this up. This is a matter of transparency. I think the chair is well aware of these positions and trying to bring them in-house here, and I think that's what we're trying to do, creating a budget line and a title that I think is transparent and honest and putting a person who's highly qualified or more than qualified into that role. So.
Legislator
Walter. I have a question with the pronouns of that role, because Is she highly qualified to be a financial analyst? Yes. Or is she highly qualified to be a communication specialist? Does she have a degree in both communications and finance?
She's highly qualified for both positions.
And the only, and just for point of clarity, John, I agree. The whole point here was to move people into the jobs and create clarity. That's why as a digital media, and her role was basically positioning the county exec in the media and leveraging all social media to do so. It made sense for her not to sit in IS, but to be moved into his budget. This change to the financial analyst, and the transfer there to get the increase, and then now move. To me, that's the part that I think we're all struggling with. Legislative Walter.
And it's also wonky because you're basically sort of subversively creating, making the communications position a $70,000 position when it wasn't, by taking that same person and just changing their title. If that position's a $50,000 position, I would want to understand why it should be raised other than the fact that you're taking somebody and moving them.
We're adding duties to the original.
Well, but you said that she's already been doing those duties as a financial analyst. She's already in that position.
Sure. Some of the duties.
Legislator Guevaras.
So, Mark, you said before that this is the same type of position like we have with Amber and Natalie, correct?
The financial analyst position is
correct.
Similar to that, yeah.
So this person is also a CPA as well?
Are both of your financial analysts CPAs?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, they're not, but they have had years of experience as in a financial management role in previous jobs before they came here, and one is a CPA. So they do have financial background.
But also, doesn't Natalie have her MBA in finance, in accounting?
I believe.
Which is equivalent, essentially, to a CPA.
Correct.
It's not much difference between the two.
I'm not sure CPAs would agree. But at the same time, she meets the qualifications of the position.
I agree with Legislator Bartels that I would love to see the job description. I think that's what would be helpful here. So
and the resume.
And yeah.
You're mute, Lynn. You're mute.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the exchange here. I know it's adding clarity, and that's helpful. So thank you for that. Anybody have anything else? Any other questions? As we said earlier, for those that are still on that were part of our call and the deputies could convey this, as we get deeper into the budget and start to look at more of the detail, I'm sure we're going to have follow-ups and we'll be asking people back to get clarification on things. So, but thank you so much for your time today. Do appreciate that.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to be moving into resolutions at this juncture. We're a little ahead of schedule, but that's a good thing. We have a laundry list here today. Anybody have anything before we start?
Can I, if I may, Chair?
Yes.
The resolution regarding the public defender.
Oh, correct. Yes, thank you, John.
The request for her to come on was for 5:00. I asked her to be on at 4:45. She's not on yet, so if that can be adjusted.
Yes. Yeah, so when she comes on, we will stop in with the resolutions and move on to the next. How's that? Great. Thank you for the reminder. Okay, why don't we get into resolutions then? Resolution 299, authoring the use of the Tax Stabilization Reserve Fund for COVID-19 related expenses. May I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Bert?
Lynn, I just, I know on this agenda there is the use of the contingency fund this committee asked to have as part of the agenda this month. I would suggest you delay this resolution until that's taken care of.
Right, resolution 334.
And depending on that resolution, this may need to be amended, which I could provide the amendments for next week. So that's just my recommendation to the committee.
So why don't we go ahead and just postpone 299 until next week?
I'd actually like to ask a question about it first before we postpone. Sure. Mm-hmm. So, and it's really, I guess it's a question for the commissioner, but also a question. And it relates to the other resolution, which I'm still trying to come to terms with the discussion that I brought up before regarding the formula and going through each lines. I know we have a difference of opinion on that, Bert, but more than that, even as I look, and when we talk about all available funds, and I know that this resolution is in response to mine, among others, concerns about drawing down all available funds, as it says in the general municipal law as it relates to these types of tax stabilization funds. But for example, in this month, in our report from you, we see in the 1620 line, you moving funds to cover shortages, unrelated to this right now. And if I look at the year to date, just within the emergency budget, there are lines for professional services, lines for supplies, where the year-to-date transactions are significantly underspending. Like, there are lines where we're way above spending, and there are lines where we're overspending. So my question is, why haven't you moved monies within that budget to the extent that you could up until this point?
I've basically exhausted most of the spending in emergency management, where I've had to tap actually into their benefits to pay for these expenses in terms of the PPE equipment. I haven't touched their payroll because I know there's no vacancies there. Okay. And Tracy, with that thought, though, I understand what you're saying. In terms of this fund, and when it says to use, every account or such, if that was the case, and I don't know the intent of this, this is the controller's legal fund. We basically have to use every dollar in the budget before we use this kind of fund. If that was the case, if every dollar we used as an expense, this county would be in really bad shape if that truly was the case. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's the intent of the, and again, I can't speak for in terms of the intent, but me asking the county attorney about this endlessly, I'm comfortable saying what we're presenting here is accurate and, legal to use.
Okay.
So Bert, last you and I spoke about it, one of the things that we had talked about was for you to lay out an example for us that would help us to understand your point, which if we, requirements of this tax stabilization as it relates to using it for the for taxes is a much greater hurdle than to be able to use it in an emergency capacity for this. And you were going to lay out an example to help, and I still haven't seen it.
And I was going to go down that road, but Lynn, the biggest thing with that too is it brings up the word unknown, because it wouldn't just be you increasing taxes. You'd have to increase taxes if there was an unknown event or an expense. Going forward, let's say in 2021, we know COVID now. So any expenses going forward, we should budget for in terms of 2021. We know there could be state aid reductions coming. So that unknown factor is the biggest use of this fund. I mean, I can definitely calculate kind of something, but it wouldn't be based on like next year's budget. It would just be a lot of assumptions of something happening during the year where we have to increase taxes.
Well, and perhaps, and this goes to the deputies, perhaps one of the questions we still haven't answered was, do we need to approve this tax stabilization today, or can it be approved in January as you're looking at what overall expenses you have and as you're getting ready to close the books and realize you need to draw this money down? Because this is what we're struggling to draw this money down in this situation, when we know that there's still money that the departments have put aside and not spent. We don't know what's committed. We see what's encumbered, but we don't know the exact, financial condition to feel confident that this is our only resource or our only recourse.
I think, Lynn, in terms of the use of this, there's not going to be many times where we have, let's hope so, that there would be the need to use this fund. And I think I mentioned this. This is that we have $2.6 million, basically, of taxpayer money in this fund, which, unless an emergency or some event that nobody forecasts, we won't be able to use it. So that's why I think this is the one time that I know of, let's put it this way, hopefully in our lifetime, we are able to use it.
The question then remains, I hear you, do we need to do this now, or can we get a better, our arms around what our exact position is?
I mean, you definitely can wait till, there's that 45-day window where this has to kind of sit for public comment and such. If you do it in January, I do close the books the end of February. So it's kind of pushing that 45-day period to the max. I will say, my estimate for fund balance, we're dangerously close to that 5% without using this fund. It's that's where we would be. Again, I don't know of any other time we would be able to use this. Let's hope we don't have another time where we'd have to use it.
Legislator Guevaras.
Can I ask a question, Bert? Is there any impact to us by using this fund, such as our bond rating?
There isn't. I will say they're always monitoring fund balance as a whole. So, we do project a deficit this year. We had one last year. The bond rating agencies look at that. They kind of look at the total fund balance as a whole. I hate to speak for kind of the rating agencies. They'd rather see you increase taxes and instead of using your fund balance. That's just the rating agencies and how they work. But, they are happy that we've reduced our budget and went to the departments to reduce. We were kind of proactive with that. But in terms of the rating agencies, they'll look at the total fund balance. And this tax stabilization reserve is part of that fund balance.
So but we also, I'm sorry.
I just want to follow up on that. So is there a way to get a determination from them if we use this fund and it dips it to whatever the new level will be, mm-hmm. what that will do to our borrowing capacity and rates?
I will say we just had a rating done in for our refunding bond in end of August. They held us stable, and a lot of it is economic factors. It's not just one thing. So, they are mindful of the situation with all counties. I will say the bond market, the rates, even if you have a poor rating, I think ours is very good. If you had a poor rate, your interest rates are pretty reasonable right now. It's the future that I'm kind of worried about. If we don't use this, our fund balance may be depleted. I've mentioned this before. We only can cut as much as we can cut. Additional revenues would definitely help too. And I know there's some discussion on those too. That's just my thoughts.
A point of advice from our budget consultants was the concern, and which the rating agencies will have as well, and that is drawing down our reserves, our cash funds, and all of that. So, Their recommendation is that may not be.
Hi, Beauty. I'm in my meeting.
But that's the
Tracy,
fund balance as a
you're
whole.
On, Tracy, you're not on mute.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Lynn, that's our fund balance as a whole, which encompasses all our reserves. So, like I said, we had a deficit last year. I'm projecting a deficit this year, primarily due to sales tax. Thankfully, we've built it up so much where we still will be left, we're dangerously close to that 5% minimum, but we still have, we're still above it, which is a good thing.
Well, Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Let me ask a question during your committee meeting. I just have a real quick question. I see that the county comptroller's on board here in the meeting, and I'm wondering, what does the county comptroller and the state comptroller think about this action as it pertains to not spending down, the money that we do have available prior to exercising, which I consider a last-ditch effort, right, to keep the budget whole?
So we did ask for an opinion from the state comptroller's office about spending all other available funds. And when they saw that the county attorney had issued an opinion, they just declined issuing a further opinion. But I have to say, just logically speaking, what the finance commissioner is saying, which is that if that was held true to kind of the letter of the law, you would have to spend every single reserve fund, including all of your fund balance, and that is not logical. There is no way that is the goal of the tax stabilization fund. I would say the one thing that would satisfy my team here, which is not in the current resolution, is that there was state law changes allowing access to these funds that require a five-year repayment plan. It could have a simple sentence added that says, is our goal to repay this fund within 5 years. I think, and my team here, after having written on the tax stabilization fund, last year, feel that that would be a way to go that would protect our bond rating. But we agree, having to spend all of your unassigned fund balance in order to access this fund doesn't go to the legislative purpose of allowing counties to use these funds. And we are encountering unexpected expenditures right now and a loss of revenues. Of course, this is predicated on the expenditure side, right? Not the revenue side. So that's what I would say. From where I sit, I would like to see a goal to repay this fund within 5 years. I think we're going to have the revenues to do it. I think we're going to bounce back from COVID and be able to do it. And I think we just don't know what the future would be. So I hope that answers your question, but the state comptroller's office was asked. I looked for other places where tax stabilization funds have been tapped. There are very few instances in New York where that has been done. And we agree that having to exhaust everything just does not make logical sense. I hope that's helpful.
Thank Legislator you. Bartels.
Yeah, I struggle with it. I hear you, both the comptroller and the commissioner of finance, in terms of logical sense, but I'm not so sure, because the reality is, these were created as a tax stabilization fund. Its prime intent was to offset an increase to taxes, which would happen only after expending all those kinds of funds you're talking about. It would happen at the point that you were in dire straits in terms of basically busting the tax cap. So, and I'm concerned because we do not do multi-year budgeting, and because I'm not so optimistic that we're going to bounce back in the next couple of years and we're going to be in great shape and there's going to be revenues to offset this and pay it back. I'm worried that next year is going to be worse than this year. And I'm worried about spending this fund now if we don't absolutely have to. And right now we're looking at a proposed budget that does not raise the taxes at all, which is great. I'm not yet convinced that there aren't places to further cut in that budget. We the legislature have not gone through that process yet. We haven't put in our budgetary amendments. We are just going through listening to departments. So for me, it's premature to say we're at the very, very bottom of this barrel and we have to start spending this down or else. I want to see where we end up through this budget cycle. Because as I said again, and I tend to be a Pollyanna type person, but I am not so optimistic about the coming years. And if we were doing multi-year budgeting, we might have a projection on it, but we don't. So I'm not feeling confident yet in spending this money.
Legislator Walter.
Sorry, March, I don't know if I heard you wrong, but you said that when you were looking at other counties, you hadn't seen that they were doing this yet. And correct. So I guess that's kind of interesting to me because we're all New York and we're all in the same boat. And so why would these other counties not be doing it yet? And what do they know that we don't know? And so I hadn't, that sentence alone kind of leaves me kind of wondering.
I can't speak to every other county's 2021 budget. Okay, they haven't been adopted yet. I was able to find that the city of White Plains has accessed their tax stabilization fund for the purpose of offsetting, a potential bust through the tax cap, like we were just identifying. But I can't speak to every other county. I'm saying I haven't seen widespread use in the past of these types of funds in New York State. New York State was a late adopter of this kind of fund nationally. So I think that's why you have, and we've been, in a relatively healthy economy. I just want to go back and say, Legislator Bartels, when I say I think we will bounce back, I am talking about within 5 years to be able to repay the fund. I agree with you. I think the 22 budget is going to be much harder than the 21 budget.
Bert, did you?
No, I wanted just to add to the comptroller. I don't think many counties have such a fund. We have to remember we created this for a whole nother reason, and I'm not going to go into kind of that. But this was established for additional monies we received that were unexpected. So not many counties have created this fund. So I just want to make that point.
Okay. All right, do we want to, does someone want to make a motion to postpone?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second the motion, Bartels.
Okay. All in favor of postponement? All in favor of the motion to postpone? All in favor of postponement? Aye. Legislative Ronk, I see that you're there and driving. Please be careful. I didn't catch where you stood on this. We can't hear you.
I didn't hear.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. We can't hear you. We're postponement.
I'm opposed to postponement.
You're opposed to postponement. Okay. Postponement passed, though.
How about now?
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to clarify for Legislator Ronk that the postponement was requested by the Commissioner of Finance?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Resolution? But he's frozen again. I don't know if he heard
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. But I think we've got the votes to postpone. So, all right. Let's move on to the next resolution, 325, establishing and reporting the standard workday for elected appointed officials. Someone want to make a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Opposed? So moved. Resolution 327, confirming the appointment is John.
He's not on quite yet.
Okay, well, actually,
I'm sorry, she is on.
She is on.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. Oh, there you are. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We wanted the opportunity to meet you. We, some of us were not able to go to the law enforcement meeting. So if you'd like to take a couple of minutes to introduce yourself and your background, we'd love to get to know you.
I just have a short prepared statement. Thank you very much, Chairwoman Archer, and the committee members. I appreciate the time that you have set aside to discuss my nomination for the Ulster County Public Defender. I know you have a very busy agenda today. I'm excited to have been nominated by Executive Ryan and honored to be considered for confirmation by the legislature. I'm excited because I'm confident that my extensive experience as a trial attorney, primarily in the areas of criminal law and family law, as well as my experience managing a staff, make me uniquely qualified to successfully lead the Ulster County Public Defender's Office at this time. We are in uncharted and challenging times, which have fostered overdue public discourse about criminal justice reform in the important areas of law governing bail and the discovery process. I am confident that my experience and skills, along with those of the entire dedicated public defender staff, will provide the highest level of legal representation to our clients, resulting in an atmosphere of increased community confidence and trust in the Ulster County Public Defender's Office. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Boyer? No? Okay. Then let's move on to confirming the appointment of Ruth Boyer as Director of Ulster County's Public Defender Office. I'll take a motion.
I'll move it, Bartels.
Second?
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Confirmed unanimously. Thank you. Resolution passes. Resolution 328, approving the deviation.
It's not confirmed. They're not confirmed. It's just moving it to the legislature.
Moving it to the body for a full vote of the legislature. Thank you for the clarification, Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Boyer. Okay, Resolution 328, approving the deviation by the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency relating to the terms and conditions of a pilot to be entered into with the IDA and Kingstonian Development LLC.
I'll move it.
Okay, moved by Chairman Donaldson, second by Legislator Runk. Legislator Bartels.
It's my understanding that an independent financial analysis of the assumptions contained in that proposal is currently underway. I don't know the status of how far along it is right now, but I'd like to make a motion that we postpone this for the week in the hopes of getting that analysis prior to the next vote.
Chairman Donaldson?
The problem with the postponement is that we did have the analysis by the IDA, and this other outside analysis should be done, you know, by the end of the week. The problem with the postponement is let me turn my phone on. I'm sorry, I just got back from a meeting. Forgive me for that. Anyway, the problem with postponing it is that we have a, our rules for our remote meeting is that those people that wish to speak can only speak on the agendas, items, and it's going to be kind of confusing when, in fact, we know what the numbers are, and once the independent analysis comes in, I mean, if we don't like that, we can certainly vote no, you know, by the body.
First of all, I'd ask for a second on my motion to postpone just so we
can
postpone it. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, with all due respect, I don't understand the chair's comments. I do not feel prepared to vote on something without that independent analysis. And we're talking about postponing it 1 week to our next Ways and Means meeting. So I listened to the economic development meeting, which they talked about moving it to Ways and Means because there was going to be an analysis that Ways and Means would be able to look at. Now we're being told, we'll just vote without the analysis and then you could vote no. I, I'm, I, I would respectfully like us to wait to see that analysis.
My understanding is that the analysis should be coming by the end of this week, which would give us sufficient time to review everything for a vote next Tuesday. And so until we have the analysis, I would reinforce that we should be looking at all the numbers, and we should ensure that we are comfortable, and we've had a disinterested third party doing the evaluation, because at the end of the day, it's what's in the best interest of not just the city of Kingston, Ulster County, but in the best interest of our taxpayers. And I think we owe it to them to be cautious and to review what is being done by an independent third party before we move forward. Legislator Walter.
I agree with all of that, and I have a feeling that, you know, people who want to comment will want to look at that analysis as well.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I tend to agree with Legislator Donaldson. I don't agree with the postponement. I think that we should move this to the floor, and then if the analysis comes back and folks are not satisfied with it, then they can vote no on the floor, or they can postpone or refer back to committee on the floor. I just, we tend to take our first meeting of Ways and Means and postpone a bunch of stuff until next week. I feel like every month while respecting the fact that the developer is doing the independent analysis, I was ready to vote, positively on the project prior to the independent analysis in the first place. So I'll be a no on the postponement, and then if the postponement fails, I'll be voting yes this evening.
Legislator Bartels.
I just want to clarify. I think Legislator Ronk just said that the developer is doing the independent analysis, which it wouldn't be independent if the developer were doing it. We've seen the developer's numbers.
Is the developer paying for it, Legislator Bartels? I think you know what I meant.
I don't believe the developer is paying for it.
Right.
Who is paying for it?
The developer is not paying for it.
Is the IDA paying for it?
I don't believe the IDA is paying for it either.
No, at this point, the county is paying for it, and they're going to try to recoup the money either from the developer or the IDA.
So the developer's paying for it.
Is this with money
that's not been pay for it?
I haven't heard that part.
Okay, excuse me. One person, please. Legislator Haynes, did you have a comment?
No, I would like somebody to please clarify where the monies for the independent study are coming from. Is this money that's been held in escrow from the developer and then is going to be recouped through that money? Or where's the money for the study coming from?
My understanding is, John, would you like to respond? Thank you.
Yeah, just to clarify, the money, it came from professional services in economic development. It's paid for by the county. It's in part to be an independent study. And obviously, once it's done, it's between 10 and 15. I forget the actual figure. Once it's done, and as this moves forward, ideally the county would be able to recoup some of it. But right now it is a county project. It's a county contract. We're in charge of the process. The county.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you, Legislator Archer. I just want to clarify that when we voted on this in our committee, it was our intention to make sure that this information was before this committee prior to a vote being taken on this resolution. So I just want to reiterate that, I believe postponing this is the right decision. We will have this prior to the legislative session. Each legislator will have an opportunity to weigh in on it at least one more time in caucus, and then again in session. And this committee will have three opportunities. They'll have the next committee meeting, caucus, and session. And hopefully we'll have that information before us at that time. And that is the reason why I postponed it, or I voted it forward. I requested that we vote it forward out of our committee because I knew that there would be opportunities ahead for this committee to do exactly what you're doing today. If you don't have it in front of you, then request a postponement until you do. And thank you for letting me speak for a minute.
on the legislator Bartels.
I just want to thank Legislator Cahill for that clarification, because that was my understanding attending that meeting. That was my understanding of why it was being moved to Ways and Means. So thank you for clarifying.
Okay, on the postponement, all in favor? So we have Donaldson, Walter, Bartels, Guevara's, Archer. Opposed? Mayo, Haynes, and Ronk. Motion to postpone is approved.
Can I ask a question?
Make it clear that I voted for the postponement because Legislator Cahill requested it.
Who had a question? I'm sorry.
Actually, because he is the chairman of economic development, and I felt that that's where it should be coming from.
Resolution 329, establishing
Mr. Archer,
the...
I just had a question. That's what I was trying to get in there, was the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
I know we have our meeting on Tuesday. Is there a way to set a special meeting for this on Monday, just for this whole topic?
I guess we're going to have to find out when we can expect the report. And how about if, I don't know, I don't think it gives us enough time to send a special meeting. Legislator Bartels?
I think you also have the conflict of laws and rules, which right. has the agenda, and then Democratic Caucus, both are scheduled on Monday already, to my knowledge.
Yeah. But we may, we'll see if we can give ourselves more time. I'm not sure what the calendar looks like that day, but we'll see what we can do. Okay. Resolution 329, establishing county equalization rates for the year 2021 levy. Take a motion to move. Second?
I'll second. Bartels.
Bartels. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution moves. Resolution 330, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to reflect a public health preparedness funding for COVID. This is COVID-19 enhanced detection grant and creating positions for the health department. These are the two nurses along with a supervisor nurse, annualized $289,447. Move.
I'll second Bartels. Move
by. Okay, all in favor?
I have a question.
Yes, please, Legislator Walters.
Thanks. So, Mark, just confirmation, because originally the idea was as soon as this went through, we would reduce on our contract nurses. Is that still true? And what kind of reduction are we doing with that?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we hire these staff members, which we are. We're going to advertise the positions prior to next Tuesday, because if this doesn't pass, we just won't hire. But we're going to start gathering resumes and applications prior to that. So this week that'll go out, and I would guess by the end of this month to middle of November, we get these folks hired. Once they're fully trained, we'll back off of the contract nurses, and unless there is an increase in COVID positive cases, which would mean, you know, more case investigations, et cetera, then we would, you know, either fully reduce the contract nurses that we're using, or at least probably only use, you know, one or two.
So do you know how much you're planning right now, given our current condition of reducing the contract nurses?
I think we most days are down to three a day and two on the weekends. So we would definitely, it would be a one for one as far as the three during the week. These are three additional staff. So at most we would use the two on the weekend, but I think we would just offset those with regular public health nurses. So, I mean, I don't think we would cancel the contract, but we would probably, you know, reduce those contract nurses down to either zero or at the most two, individuals for two shifts a week. So it'd be four shifts as opposed to right now, it's about 34 shifts.
Okay. All in favor of the resolution? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 331, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept supplemental immunization action plan funding from New York State Department of Health for flu activities. It's about $39,000 in funding.
Seconded.
All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 332, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with New York State Department of Health to continue the Children and Youth with Special Healthcare Needs program. It's about $144,500 to us from the State Department of Health.
I'll move it. Bartels.
Second. Guevara, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 333, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Education Department's Adult Career and Continuing Ed Services, Vocational Rehab, and Employment and Training for reimbursement through the Work Tryout Program for Federal Fiscal Year 2020, and amending the 2020 Ulster County budget for about $8,100. Moved?
I'll move it. Cortez.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? So moved.
No.
Someone put on mute, please. Thank you. A resolution 334. Amending the 2020 budget for COVID-19 related expenses, emergency management. This is the resolution where we're using the contingency fund to move into the, to cover some of the loss in emergency management.
I'll move it.
Second. Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
So as I stated earlier, you know, I'm struggling with the tax stabilization fund, but my question for the Commissioner of Finance is, and I mean, I don't know where the body would come out on the tax stabilization fund, but if we did not utilize the tax stabilization fund at this time, would you still make this move just as you've done here?
Yeah, I do think emergency management does need money to replenish in his budget. So I think this resolution is needed, and I understand why you had requested it, Tracy. So, emergency management's been tapped for the PPE equipment as well as the contract nursing, none of which was budgeted for, and having this resolution at least helps when it comes to the budget for 911.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that one wasn't contingent on the other.
No, I hear you. Yep.
Legislator Walter, did you have a question?
No, just to state that in law enforcement, public safety, we felt comfortable with the explanation about this change.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 335.
You have one opposed, though. You saw that you have one opposed?
No, I did not.
I believe Legislator Ronk raised his hand.
Ronk is opposed.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand.
It's all good. For the same reason as I was against the postponement of the tax stabilization resolution, I'm opposed to this. I think that we should have just used the tax stabilization last month.
Okay. Resolution 335, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for participation in a local emergency management performance grant program for about $72,000 funding.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 337, approving Ulster County's 2021 Stop DWI program, authorizing the chair of the legislature.
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor?
Can I actually speak to this for a second?
Yes, please.
You know, every time this comes up, I raise this issue, and there's never any change. I want to be on the record again as raising a concern that there's no funding for rehabilitation, that our plan always leaves rehabilitation out. And that's one of the, you know, it's one of the stated directives in the state. Now, obviously, this gets approved every year without rehabilitation, but I just think it's an oversight on your part.
Okay, thank you. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 338, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept Governor's Traffic Safety Committee grant, Child Passenger Safety Program.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? You okay, Legislator Bartels?
On this one, I want to say, and I don't know, I will reach out. I think it comes through the sheriff's office, maybe, or I think we need to do better outreach about this service. I mean, it really is a critical service. I remember when I had a newborn and I felt very confused about when I had to change seats. I felt very confused about how to put a seat in and overwhelmed. And because I knew a local enforcement officer, I just called him and he helped me. And once you figure it out, you figure it out. But I feel like in those early days and stages, I didn't even know that this service existed. So just hoping that we do find a way to reach out more broadly on this.
Legislator Wrong. Legislator Wrong.
Thanks. I just want to make folks aware, including Legislator Bartels, that two of our deputies who take part in this program predominantly are Deputy Tom Briggs, who is the gentleman who, when we're meeting in person, is protecting us up on the sixth floor during our meetings, and Deputy Deb Prusak, who retired several years ago and came back part-time. And one of the things that they do is they go to the People's Place one or two days a week when, of course, it's safe to do so, you know, when there's not a pandemic going on, and offer the service there. There's a lot of places where this happens, and we might not necessarily trickle down to us, but they are out in the community, you know, especially certain portions of the community that would need this service doing it. So I didn't know if folks knew that was going on, so I wanted to bring that up.
Thank you. All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 348, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $23,474.50, causing the aggregate to be in excess of $50,000. This is for Asset Works LLC from Information Services. This is funding for the AVL fleet management software.
I'll move it.
Second? Any questions? Legislator Walter seconded. Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
Isn't this accepting a grant for traffic safety related to seatbelts? Did we skip something?
I think you jumped to 348, Legislator Archer.
I did.
You were on 338, so I think 340.
339.
Or 339.
Mm-hmm. No, 338. And I'm sorry, my pages got mixed. Thank you. Sorry. 339. We'll try it again. Resolution 339, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept Governor's Traffic Safety Committee grant.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions, comments? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? So moved. Thank you. Resolution 340, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Gardner for maintenance of county roads. Second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor? So moved. Any opposed? No. Okay, so moved. Okay, resolution 341, establishing capital project 575, purchase of Seraphim Volumeric calibration trailer, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Seconded.
Any questions, Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, this is a totally naive question, but I couldn't find it. What is a Seraphim volumeric calibration trailer? And in the backup with the capital replacement plan, there wasn't a Seraphim volumeric calibration trailer listed on the capital replacement plan or anything $40,000 there. So I'm just confused what this is.
Bert?
This was part of the capital program under kind of highway equipment, and it really not even highway for the sealer of weights and measures. It's a trailer and kind of a calibration trailer they use. And I believe the one that the director of weights and measures uses now is dated 1953. And I believe it's leaking and it needs desperate replacement. So that's why this is a capital project that we couldn't wait till next year.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Bert, did you see the backup? Is it listed on one of those? I mean, I'm going to support it either way, but is it listed on that? There was backup provided with a capital replacement plan, but nothing said Seraphim volumeric calibrator.
Give me 1 second, Tracy. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. What exactly does it do? You know?
It's for the gas that they have to measure and test each time. You've probably seen it down the road when they take it to the gas stations and such.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was in the 2025 plan, I'm sure it was in the 21-26 plan too, but I think it was in the last year's capital program.
But that's what I'm saying. That was what was in the backup, but I didn't see it. Like what was provided as backup, I didn't see it in there.
It wasn't listed as a piece of equipment. Right.
Tracy, I can send you a picture of what the trailer looks like. I have that as the backup.
No, that's there.
I can send it right after this meeting so you can get an idea of what it looks like.
No, the picture's in there. Just there's no corresponding. What's provided as backup in the capital doesn't correspond to this, either in name or number.
Yeah.
Yeah, the list, it did not include this piece of equipment.
Yeah, this was kind of added mid-year as part of that highway equipment capital project, and we just never did it for this year.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 344, approving the execution of a contract for $210,000 entered into the county with Robert Ralph Agency doing business as Ralph Benefit Advisors. Move.
Move it.
Second. Chairman Donaldson. I don't know where the extra noise is coming from. Legislator Bartels.
Are we going to go out? Are we going to go out to bid on this? I didn't see an option to extend in the contract, so I don't know if that was something that was just internally negotiated. I was just curious if this is something we're going to plan to. I'm going to have this question for a bunch of them, but if we're going to plan to go out to bid, or are we just?
It was in the original RFP that there would be an original 3-year term with, I think, 2 1-year options. Sherry's not on here anymore, right?
I
believe in the RFP, because I was still down in purchasing at that time, that it was originally a 3-year term with additional options.
Any other questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved.
Sorry, can I?
Yes.
One
please,
quick
Mark.
Thing, just because I want to. So, Article 2 in the original contract, it states under the term that, in accordance with the RFP, the county, in its sole discretion, may with written notice extend the term of this agreement for 2 additional 1-year periods. So it was in the original contract as well as the RFP.
So are we in the first of the 1-year extensions or the second?
This is the first extension. There would be one more after this, and then we would have to RFP.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This has moved unanimously. Great. Resolution 345, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2020, local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the Administrative Code for Ulster County, local law number 10 of 2008, to further clarify budget modification after adoption, to be held on Tuesday, November 17, 2020 at 7:10. Chairman Donaldson, did you get my note on this? Excuse me?
You want me to move it for discussion?
Move it for discussion.
Please. I'll move it.
Second. Yes, County Executive Ryan had reached out just minutes before we started our meeting today, and he apologized for not getting to us sooner, but he'd like to have a conversation about this at our next legislative meeting before we move forward. So I told him that I would speak, to the body with regards to postponing this till next week, till we've had a chance to speak to him.
I'll move to postpone it.
Okay. Second. Okay. All in favor for postponement? Okay, great. Thank you. Resolution 346, approving the execution of a contract for $75,000 entered into with Soldier On, Inc., Veteran Services.
I'll move it.
Second.
Legislator Bartels.
So is this something new? Were we contracting out this service before? Have we always been contracting it out?
Yes. This is the organization that's run the Patriots Project since its inception.
Okay.
There was a question by Legislator Criswell, and he's not on this call, but he had asked why somewhere in the contract it specifically states that it's male veterans. And so these services are offered to female veterans, just not at this facility. If there's a homeless female veteran, we will provide housing and these transitional services elsewhere. The Veteran Services Agency and Soldier On just feel that it's not a conducive environment for services to all in this house.
Right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 347, approving the execution of a contract for $108,900 entered into by the county for Kingston Work, a division of Health Alliance Hospital Broadway Campus, Office for the Aging. Move?
I'll move it.
Second? Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Legislator Bartels.
So there's a highlighted language in there that that points out that in dispute, whichever party prevails, the other party would be liable for attorney's fees and all that. Is it highlighted because that's something that's not standard in our contracts? And if so, why is that in this contract?
Which section are you in?
I don't have it in front of me. I just made a note of it. It's highlighted bright yellow. And it basically says that...
Article 31.
Yeah, it says that there'll be responsible for attorney's fees and all costs associated. I just have not seen that in our contracts before. And I was also helped by the fact that it was highlighted because it just brought my attention to it quickly.
Do you have the page? Legislative.
Yeah, sorry. I'm actually just looking in the previous contract under Article 31.
It's page 11.
As well.
Article 31 disputes.
So in Article 31 in the previous contract, for disputes. It says, in the event of a dispute arising from this agreement, the firm shall be liable to the county for reasonable attorney's fees. And you're saying the language in this contract says what?
It says that the party that is unsuccessful after a trial has been concluded shall be liable to the successful party for the reasonable attorney's fees, costs, expenses, and disbursements incurred by the successful party in enforcing its legal and or equitable rights.
Yeah, so I think it's highlighted because it's different than our template language and was negotiated by contract management. You know, we have standard template language that we try to use in most contracts, but depending upon the party, you know, not all parties will agree with identical language. So this was negotiated with the county attorney's office. So instead of them just automatically paying us attorney fees, if we're not successful, we would pay their attorney's fees as well.
And I'm assuming, obviously, the county attorney's office is comfortable with this because it's gone through county contract management. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor of the resolution? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 348, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $23,474.50, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Asset Works LLC Information Services. Moved?
I'll move it.
Second? Chairman Donaldson. Legislator Bartels.
So this is another one where I'm just wondering if this is something that we're planning to go back out to bid for. Are we comfortable? Is this service still state of the art? You know, we first signed with them more than 10 years ago, I think. Again, I don't have the contract right now.
Yeah, so this is the maintenance of that software system. We're probably getting at a point where we want to consider going back out to RFP. I know IS and Public Works have discussed this software. It's still, it still meets our demands. You know, this is the software that we use for every basically spare part that goes into any of our fleet vehicles. It tracks how much we're spending on each vehicle. It allows the fleet manager to make the determination of value for you know, whether we need to be replacing these cars or not. And the technology is up to date still at this point. This is just, frankly, maintenance of that software. So when we do go out to RFP, if we chose a new system, we would be purchasing, you know, an entire new system and the cost would be quite a bit more. But it's something that we kind of look at each time we do one of these amendments. And at this point, we've determined that we should just extend it this year.
Okay, any other questions on the resolution? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 349, approving execution of a contract amendment for $68,778.39 entered into by the county. This is Tyler Technologies, Inc.
Moved.
Second? Second, Legislator Bartels. Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
Sorry. I'm just wondering, are we any closer to getting this integrated into the rest of our financial system? Like, where are we at with that? Bert has his hand up.
Sorry.
Yeah, Tracy, I'm going to tackle the tax system first. Which is in our program for 2021. And then this is a priority, but I got to do one at a time in my office. It's something we're trying to get some quotes on from New World in terms of the payroll and personnel side of things. And they did have bugs at first, and I think those have been worked out. So it's definitely something I'm going to pursue. Just a matter of I got to do the tax system first.
Can I just ask a follow-on question, Chair?
Yes, please.
Have you been able, since this has been going for so long, and I assume they've worked out about a bunch of kinks, have you been able to speak to other counties that have utilized the integrated system?
Yeah, I mean, personnel, like I said, I think I mentioned before, the civil service side of this had a lot of workarounds, which mm-hmm. they've they've kind of fixed, and it sounds like, you know, things are what we'll be able to use and enhance kind of the positions and such will be a lot better and beneficial, that's for sure. It would be nice to have it all in one system, and I, you know, I'm definitely in agreement. It's just a matter of I'm trying to do the tax system first.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Legislator Walter.
Can you just help understand, explain what the additional 68, is it just an extension of it? Because I have a feeling that we approved this a while ago. So this is not an add-on to something we've already agreed on. It's its own extension of the whole full contract.
This is for the payroll system. I think you had prior, you know, we have it for our financial system. Public safety has it for their system.
I must have saw another one. Okay.
Yeah, this is just for our payroll system.
And then at some point, they'll all be talking to each other, right?
In terms of payroll and our financial system, yes, absolutely. Okay. Which would be beneficial for everybody.
And the features that it's offering on for the tax system, and why you're focused on that one first?
Well, the tax system, the issue I have with that is right now it's homegrown. And in terms of taking it off of that mainframe, which is on, we'll save money. And, you know, providing the ability for folks to pay their taxes online will be beneficial. And like I said, getting us off of that homegrown system will be another benefit to the county, that's for sure.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor of this resolution, please? Okay. Opposed? So moved. Resolution 350, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $23,320, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50, entered into by the county, New York Communications Company, Ulster County Sheriff.
I'll move it.
Second. Legislative Walter. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Resolution 351, approving the execution of contract for $363,780 and entered into the county with New York Communications Company, Ulster County Sheriff. Comprehensive radio equipment lease. Chairman moved it. Second. Legislative Walter. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 352, approving the execution of a contract for $74,956 entered into by the county people. Projects to empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled Inc. Department of Health. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Walter, second. Question, Legislator Bartels.
So I don't need a ton of detail right now, but I'm just wondering how this came about and how many people, I see that it's an RFP, so I'm wondering how many replied to the RFP and why the project just focuses on Kingston. Was that something that happened internally or I just don't know.
So I think that, was it August or September's meeting, Ellenville Hospital came and spoke about their high-risk mitigation team that basically focuses on all of Ulster County minus Kingston. And so working kind of jointly with them, we put together this high-risk mitigation program just for Kingston. I believe one of the members on the hospital was on the RFP committee, and we chose People Inc. to focus on Kingston solely, and then Ellenville, off of a grant, is focusing on the rest of the county.
And if I may ask, it references Ulster County's high-risk mitigation team. Like, who is our high-risk mitigation team?
I could tell you.
Sure. I think it's part of the healing grant, so I'll let you.
No, the high-risk Education team was also, Ellenville Hospital got quite a bit of funding for several projects, and this is one of them, is their high-risk mitigation team. And so there's two elements. I'm not sure which one this falls in. One is keeping people within the system if they are identified either in a hospital or law enforcement. There's a second element, which I'm not sure, is to investigate when there's a death. But Ellenville got extensive funding for both of those elements. And it's not so much that Kingston wasn't a part of it, it was that Health Alliance was not a part of it. And so that by default kind of left Kingston out of it because Health Alliance wasn't, you know, partnering with Ellenville Hospital when they originally put this in.
So is this currently Ellenville Hospital, or is this something totally different with People Inc.?
It's expanding what Ellenville's doing. Sorry, Mark. Right.
Yep. It's just bringing what Ellenville is doing to the Kingston area, but with county funds. And we're working in partnership with Ellenville Hospital, but this is, you know, working with Health and Mental Health Department, our team, and People Inc. And it's more the identifying people within the system. It's not, this piece is not investigating the deaths.
And People Inc. responded, was one of the respondents to the RFP. Do we have multiple respondents?
Yeah, I think we had three respondents. I wasn't on the committee, so I don't know who the other two were. But we had three responses.
Okay, thank you.
Legislator Walter.
So, sorry, to relate that to what you had said. So, is the Kingston part of it covered by the HEAL grant?
I believe that this
says it's federal.
Will be covered by the HEAL grant. Sorry, it says it's what?
I thought it federal said money? Federal revenue, $65,000.
$74,956 is the...
It says appropriation dollars. Oh, right. Oh, 100% federal.
Oh, it's 100% federal.
So that might be.
But I still think that it's going through HEAL, so I'm not.
HEAL is federal money.
Right. Sure.
Okay. Okay. All in favor of Resolution 352? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 353, approving the execution of a contract for $65,000 entered into by the County Health Research, Inc., Department of Health.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it then.
Legislator Bartels.
So this one, this doesn't say how this was arrived at. Was this an I'm just a little confused because it looks different. Was this an RFP and that's how we got to Health Research, Inc., or...
No, Health Research Inc. is funding us. This is
our and that's contract. Our contracts with
this
them.
This is the federal. This is where we get a lot of our federal money is through Health Research Inc.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Okay. I'd like to take a motion to block resolutions 354, 355. 356, 57, 358, 59, 60, 61 through 375.
Motion. I'll move that.
Okay, second. Okay. Legislator Bartels.
So I feel like this is a little bit of deja vu all over again, but I mean, maybe it's not. And this is several years ago now when we started to see these resolutions creep up into the multi-million dollars. And when I asked, you know, for backup on how much we actually spent on each contract, it became apparent that we didn't spend anywhere near what we were authorizing. And I had a then extended conversation with then Deputy Executive Cornell, who he finally conceded somewhat of the fact and amended the numbers so that we weren't authorizing many, many, many millions of dollars. Now, I don't know, because I have yet to see, you know, if these are reasonable estimates of what we're really going to spend, or if these were back to just like giving giant numbers as a blanket authorization, which I do understand if we go beyond it, you'd have to come back to us. But I don't personally feel really comfortable authorizing radically more than we need. So maybe Bert can answer whether or not I just saw Bert's reaction in each individual line. And I'm not asking you to go line by line, but this is over 27, 26, yeah. $27 million of authorization. Is that a reasonable number for what's spent?
I mean, Tracy, one of the problem, and I understand what you're asking, the problem I have, these payments aren't done through our financial system. They're done through the state system. So I don't see this information when it comes to these vendors to provide it to you.
But it's you must get it at some point. We must.
I don't see the vendors. I just see the expenses come over as kind of a whole when we import the information from the state system.
Then how do we create these numbers? We just
this is all through DSS. So I mean, I can definitely get some.
So DSS may have the numbers. They correct. Know what actually yeah. has been
sold. And these are the tranches that were discussed back in the past. So you'll see that some of them are 250,000, some are 400,000,
some of them are 3 million.
Yeah, yeah, some of them are 3 million, but those are estimate. You know, some of the services are you know, the facilities are bigger and have more vacancies and the services cost more. But I do think that these are estimates on what they're going to spend and not just numbers thrown against a wall.
Can I ask for the committee's, I'd like us to postpone it this 1 week so that we could just confirm both with DSS that these numbers are real estimates based on previous spending, and I'm totally open to some latitude there. I'm not asking that we keep it within a really crazy tight number, but and also if they maybe we could have our own budget analyst look and see if these numbers coincide with the budget requests for these individual vendors over the previous years as well, because again, just right now it feels to me like we're creeping back up, but maybe that's just sticker shock. Maybe this is, maybe to your point, Mark, these are the exact kind of tranches that they were in last time, and that's fine. And I'm certainly not looking to hold this up beyond next week. These are really important services, and I know that they're costly services. My intent is not for us not to provide funding for these services. I just would like the week to confirm that these numbers somehow work out with both our previous estimates and previous years on these vendors.
So, Mark, will you can you have DSS provide us the actuals for these various programs last year, and then we'll just do a quick see from prior resolutions, but it would be helpful what was actually spent in each of these programs. Is that doable for next week?
Yeah, that should be fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Legislator Bartels, are you postponing this block of resolutions until you get those numbers?
Well, I'd like to make a motion to postpone it for 1 week, but again,
okay. Second,
clear, I have no intention of holding it up.
Do we have to vote on the block? Or did
yeah.
we?
We did that, I think.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's vote on the block. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, on the postponement of the block?
I'd like to make a motion to postpone for 1 week.
And second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark and Bert.
Okay. I'd like to accept a motion to block resolutions 376, 377, and 378 for early intervention and preschool transportation.
Move to the block.
Second?
I'll second.
On the block? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. On the blocked resolutions, may I have a motion?
I'll second.
Okay, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Okay. We are now to new business and/or old business. The request to fund. We have that new process, the new policy for legislative appropriations for non-county organizations. And I was trying to determine, do you want to try and do a special meeting to review the agencies that have applied for consideration, or do we want to have it become integrated into our amendment process? I'm looking to the committee to determine what's the next course of action. Do you want to have a special meeting to review? How many companies have applied? Do you have that number?
I think it's about a dozen. I don't have the exact number.
Okay. So we could either, Legislator Walters.
So I'm sorry. So have they been seen by the other? Have they been reviewed by the other committee?
No. The new resolution means they come before us.
Okay.
They could. The other committees may have talked to them or encouraged them to apply.
But we're the only pathway.
Yeah.
And so I guess I know I'm not exactly answering your question, but I could volunteer to do this, or I don't know if Laura wants to. It'd be helpful if the new kind of guidelines we created, we convert into some kind of like check sheet so that we, you know, can review them considering each of the elements that we're asked to, you know, consider. That would just make it more efficient, perhaps.
Chairman Donaldson?
So basically, this process now usurps the power of all the other committees, and they have no say anymore. Is that what it is?
Well, they can recommend anyone. I mean, they can recommend anyone, but that's the resolution that was passed 2 months ago, I think, in August.
I have a question, Chairwoman.
Does this mean that through
the chairwoman to Legislator Donaldson, does this mean that they no longer go in front of legislative programs like they normally used to at all?
Apparently.
And it was voted on. It was taken to the floor and everyone voted on it. So this was Legislator Ronk and Petit's resolution.
In seeing how it used to play out through legislative programs, and I think Chairman Donaldson could speak to this as well, I really think it's deserving of its own special meeting because it's going to be a lengthy undertaking. It's quite a feat. That would be my
opinion. We have 11 separate organizations that have come forward. And, you know, and anyone would be invited if they wanted to participate, any legislator who has a vested interest in an organization. Legislator Walter?
Yeah, so I'll agree that a special meeting, I have to say, I somehow missed that was in this resolution. I have no idea how, but I did not see that language, and we never even talked about that it would never go in front of that committee. I'm just sort of just putting that out there.
I apparently missed that also, so don't feel bad.
Well, and we did talk about it a couple of meetings ago.
I don't think it's healthy. I think the other committees are the ones that should be dealing with this. They're the ones that specialize in that. Our this committee should be about, do we have the money?
But I'll go back to my request. I don't know if Laura is on, but it would be helpful to have some kind of like checklist or some kind of thing that we can use to make sure that each of the elements that we voted on that we're addressing. I don't know who.
Well, most of them
to put something together.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we'll Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I was just going to agree after listening to the back forth that that we should do this as a special separate meeting, and it should be before the budget amendments, so that both so that we have the opportunity to take it in, and then if any of the programs, I don't know which ones have put in, if any of the programs are appropriate in terms of talking with individual county departments, or because I know that was some of the aim of this, was eventually to get these things into essentially into the executive's budget. So we'd have the opportunity to bring in that conversation through the budget amendments if we had the special hearing, special meeting first, because we would be better informed.
And of course, we'll extend invitations to the other committees if they would like to, be a part in here, the proposal. So not meant to be exclusionary at all. Okay, so we'll go ahead and set something up and try to prepare a checklist for conversation to ensure that we've got, we're following the procedures that were set up when that resolution passed. Anybody have anything else? Yes. Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I know that the agenda didn't, I'm assuming it's next week with the approval of minutes, and then, we had the various reports, but I just have a question, a couple questions. In the legislature report with the new hires, we have four new full-time hires, two temporary, two permanent in highways, and I'm curious, are they filling positions that left as a result of the early retirement, or are these totally new hires?
They're not added positions. They're not necessarily replacing retirees from the retirement incentive. We've really not filled many positions in that department throughout the year. We had one individual pass away in a fire. We had another pass away at home of natural causes. We have a couple who've gone out due to pretty bad car accidents. One was a fatality of another person. So these are filling vacancies, but they're not necessarily filling vacancies from the retirement incentive.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then my other question, I saw in the in the other report, I saw that there was $25,000 to Ashley Mechanical for Tech City. And I was wondering, this is the meeting we're supposed to get per resolution and policy. We're supposed to get the monthly update on the expenditures of Tech City. And I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a report. So
I sent it really late, like probably during the budget discussions during this meeting. So I think Natalie and Amber got it probably.
They were just, it was forwarded around 3:30.
I didn't look at my emails. I'd like it if moving forward we could get it in advance of this meeting. That's the intention, so that it could be discussed at this meeting. And there's a reason, whatever kind of presentation, whatever discussion has to happen with the running number. The Ashley Mechanical number, the 25,000, what exactly is that for? Because it's the only number that I know that I see directed to it prior to looking at whatever you sent.
I'll have to take a look. I don't want to speak to it. I don't know off the top of my head. So I'll reach out to DPW and let you know at the next Ways and Means.
Okay. And can I request something specific, Mark? Right now it's just a running tab of expenses to date. And clearly we heard that there's going to be additional expenses this year. Plus what's in the capital plan for next year. But I think there was a discussion saying we're going to get an additional 300,000 or something this year.
Yeah. So
could this be more of a kind of a build out of a plan of expectations of what you're anticipating and what kinds of work is going to need to be done for whatever, and we'll probably have more detailed conversation at our joint meeting next week between Public Works and Ways and Means. But right now, all this tends to be as a running tab, and we thought we were going to be spending under 300, and now it keeps changing and the number keeps creeping up. And again, we've got project creep on this, and And you know, some of us felt the building should have probably stayed mothballed until we could sell it. But I really think we need to get a better handle on what is anticipated work here.
Yeah, and this is the kind of end of operating costs that just get it that unmothballed, as you say. What was presented at the Economic Development Committee, which was the additional capital expenditures. Some of that is being put out there that if it's, you know, if we choose to keep the building over the next few years, those are costs that will have to be spent. So, you know, that full, I think, 2.5 million or whatever was presented there won't necessarily be spent by the county. It was just a kind of a full accounting of what will need to be spent by somebody over the next little bit. We will establish a capital project, which, you know, at some point this year, I think in November, for the funds that you were talking about being expended in 2020. And that will have more details than, of course, this spreadsheet is.
And that additional 300 is additional work that is required, or?
To get it to a different level of occupancy, I believe, than what we had initially planned when we told you it was about 300,000. That was to basically just ensure that it wasn't deteriorating worse, but remaining fully unoccupied. And so I think, you know, there's a plan that will be presented at that capital projects meeting that would okay. come with the additional price tag.
Okay. Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I just also wanted to clarify, you know, that the policy requires that the report by the Commissioner of Finance or his designee on a monthly basis include all expenditures. And I just quick looked at the email sent, and the email is just, it's an infrastructure work summary. I'm sure there are other expenditures such as electricity or oil or, I mean.
Ongoing expenses
in labor, including county labor, which is associated with the cost. So all of those things I would want to see captured as well, not just outside contracts.
I don't believe there's anything outside of what we sent you, but I'll follow up.
Are you saying we don't have the electric turned on? We don't pay an electric bill?
I mean, it's not an occupied building at this point. So I see Dr. Wright just got off mute. Maybe.
You know, we've been paying for the electric in that building the entire time we've owned it, and there's been no change in that. I mean, we can get that for you, but there's not, you know, that's just a cost of owning the building, not work that we're doing on it right now.
Exactly. The policy doesn't speak to work that we're doing on it right now. The policy speaks to all expenditures related to Tech City, which includes just the cost of owning it.
We can certainly get that and add it. I think we didn't understand that's what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, March.
Yeah. I would like to be included in the monthly report, whether it is from the executive's office or when it is forwarded around to the legislature. That would be very helpful. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm sitting here with open invoices to Ashley Mechanical, but I don't know exactly what you guys are questioning. So I would like to be included in that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Issues? Business? Okay. I'll take a motion to adjourn. John, Tracy, second. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for your patience today and for getting your department heads here. I appreciate it. Thank you.